before I get into my message today, how many of you guys know that we are raising funds for a new building? Raise your hand if you knew that. Whew, thank God. All right. This whole section has no clue what we're doing. It's amazing. So what we're doing is we're raising money for a brand new building. And so I know that the bulletin, if you guys will, you know, open that up, or I think it's in the on the bottom or on the back somewhere where it tells you how much money has come in for that. And that is an outdated figure. I just checked like this morning, and we have $45,500 that have come in for our new building. Isn't that amazing? And I just want to thank you guys for continuing to give. And the reason why I'm starting with that this morning is because we're in this series called Unshakable, right? And we've been through all kinds of different subjects that have caused us to, and are teaching us to be firm in our faith. And one of the things that causes us to be firm in our faith and unshakable is knowing what the local church is here for and its mission. So many people have no clue really what the church is all about. As a matter of fact, a lot of people have a sense that the church is a utopian thing where everybody in all of the every seat that is filled in this place, you guys are all perfect. And that I'm never going to offend you, you're never going to offend me, and you're never going to say something off color in front of me, and I'm never going to say something off color in front of you, that, you know, everything is perfect and wonderful. But that's not the biblical model of the church, right? Church is a gritty place. Sometimes it's a tough place, right? But it is a place where we can come and get fueled up to where we can love each other. And I don't know about you, but I have never loved perfectly. Raise your hand if you have loved perfectly. Man, I try. Like, I don't wake up every morning going, I'm just going to give it 25% today. You know, I don't do that. But I try my best to love like Jesus loves. Matter of fact, one time I asked my wife, and I encourage all you guys never to ask your wife this question. Dana, do it. Not right now. I don't need you to answer it twice. Matter of fact, you're dismissed. So, but I asked her this question, and we were getting ready or what for service or church or something, and I was just feeling extra holy that day, I guess. And I asked her, I said, do I love you like Christ loves the church? And I expected a resounding yes, but she immediately said no. And I was like, all right, I'm totally offended by you right now. So I give it my best shot, right? We all give it our best shot to love perfectly, but it just doesn't happen. It comes out in weird ways, right? And sometimes we mean to be funny, but it offends somebody else, right? Or we feel like that Pastor Jimmy should have said hi to me this Sunday morning, but somehow he didn't do it, and I'm going to email him this long thing and tell him all the reasons why he should have hugged my neck or shook my hand or said hi to me or whatever the situation may be. We all sometimes carry our feelings out on our sleeves sometimes, but the beauty of the church is that it's not perfect. I fit in really well in that scenario. I don't know about you, but I find great comfort that the church is not perfect, and I'm part of it, and that you are part of it. And so I wanted to start my message off this morning telling you about a dream that I had last night. Normally, I don't dream, or if I do, I don't recall it. You know, Dana, she'll have some prophetic dreams, and I have pathetic dreams, all right? You know, fueled by pizza and whatever I had to eat right before I went to bed. And so I really just, I mean, sometimes God speaks to me in dreams, but it is, I mean, very, very rare. And so last night, fell asleep and I started dreaming, and we were in our new building. And I was walking down the right-hand side of the building, of the sanctuary, coming in on a Sunday morning. And every hand that I shook, the place was full. And every hand that I shook, I had no clue who they were. And they were super, super charged and excited about being at New Freedom Church. And I delivered the message, and it was just an amazing service. And there was a room in the back where we kind of, the staff debriefed, and there was probably about a dozen staff members back there. And I just remember how much our church had grown, and that there were so many new faces in the place. And if you're brand new here today, then just listen, because this is about the future of our church and where we're going. And so I woke up from there believing that was a prophetic dream, not a pathetic dream, all right, which usually I have. And so I believe that God has got some pretty substantial plans for our church. And I believe that, and I said this 2 years ago, but that God is going to do a regional work in our ministry, not just in Green Bay, not just in Howard, but a regional work where our influence is impacting not only our city, but the region as well. And so we are already in plans. Pastor Johnny and I dedicate a part of our Wednesday strategizing where we want to plant the church. And you may say, well, Pastor, why in the world are you thinking about planting a church when we're trying to build a church? Well, you know, you got to have big dreams, right? You got to consistently be thinking forward and looking ahead. I had rather have plans that I cannot do than plans that I can do and I can manage, right? If you don't have plans that scare you a little bit, I encourage you to rework those plans, goals, visions. Do those things. Dream big. And so we're dreaming about those things. And I'm talking to our district office about, hey, if you know a church planter that wants to plant in a rural area, bring them to us. We want to train them up and send them out. And so that's what we're doing. We're dreaming. And so I believe God is going to do some amazing things. And He already is through our church right here in this industrial park. Amen? And so this morning we are going to continue into this series called Unshakable. And I thank God for the local church, because when I first started going to church, I thought church was, again, this utopian place that everybody got along and there was no bickering, there's no infighting. Everybody was happy and everything was going great in their lives. But when you started going to church for a long period of time, you begin to see that not everybody is perfect. And to me, that's the beauty of the local church. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the church and its mission. So let's pray. Father, I come before you this morning, and I thank you so much for the power of prophetic dreams. I thank you, Father, that you speak to us in all kinds of different ways. And I thank you, Father, for speaking to us specifically here today. Lord, through the foolishness of preaching, would you save souls today? God, would you just hone in the focus upon the local church today and its mission? And I pray, Father, that after this sermon is done, that we would understand and realize the value of each member and their role and their influence. And so, Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to anoint and to bring understanding today. In Jesus' name, amen. One last thing, and this does have to do with the church, is how many of you guys remember your yes cards that you filled out? Know this, again, I am still praying and believing for your family members, for your friends, for your coworkers. praying over them every week. And I encourage you to do the same. Bring your yeses to church with you, amen? Because I'm praying over you. I'm praying. This is what I'm praying. And it's not like I'm spending hours, but I see those yes cards and I keep them on my desk and I mix them up all the time and I pick one and I pray over it, pick another one and pray over it. And so I'm praying over you guys, every one of you that filled these yes cards out. God, give them influence, give them opportunity to speak into their lives, and give them opportunity to invite them to come to church. Those are the things that I'm praying over you. So know that this opportunity that God is giving you is being prayed over by your pastor. And that I'm believing that God gives you wisdom. He gives you courage to speak into those dark places. Amen? Be deliberate about it. Listen, Pastor Johnny and I, we are chaplains at the fire department. And we do it not because we want to fill spaces in our lives. We do it so that we can speak into lives, right? And every opportunity, we want to speak into it. And so, with that said, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18? Excuse me. The church and its mission. This is something that Jesus said, Matthew 16, 18. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I remember whenever I first moved here, one of my big fears were that, well, one of my biggest prayers were, Lord, help me not to screw this up, right? Help me not to screw New Freedom Church up. That was my prayer. I know it's a holy, uplifting prayer. But you know what? What I've come to realize is that Jesus said, I will build my church, and Pastor Jimmy's mistakes will not overcome it. So please insert your name into that scenario, right? But Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. The church that Jesus built is not some weak, low energetic institution that is soft on hope, that is weak on grace, but that it is powerful, that it is an advancing force with supernatural power to bring hope, bringing redemption, healing, and salvation for all who enter its doors. Can I get a resounding hallelujah this morning? The church, even though, here's why I was thinking about that this week, is that our country is becoming a place where it has no sense of itself anymore. We try to hide our history, good and bad. We can't seem to get agreements on any, on the left or the right or in the middle, in our leadership. If you're not on one side, then you're not patriotic. If you're not on the other side, then you hate America. And our country just seems to have no sense of itself. But church, I've got good news for you. That's where the church of Jesus Christ shines the brightest. It's in the moments where confusion, where chaos, where there's duplicity of minds, duplicity in our leadership, that's when the church arises the brightest and the highest, because the church never changes. It is solid. It is steadfast. It is never low in energy. It is never weak in grace. It is never low in love, because we serve the Creator of love. Amen? That He not only came to save me, but He also came to save that person that I can't stand the most. You got one too. You got one too. Know that He is never soft on love, that His grace is sufficient for us. And because of that, that bleeds into the church. It is the lifeblood. It is the light of the church. It is the oil that greases the pistons of the church to move forward. I thank God that His church never changes. And anybody that wants to come into those doors of New Freedom Church is welcome. As a matter of fact, we had this guy, I don't know, about 3 or 4 years ago. And he has this ministry. I won't say what his ministry is. I don't want to promote him. But he would protest out here for 6 solid weeks. He was at, some of you know who I'm talking about. But 6 solid weeks, I still see his truck every once in a while. And I had, you know, there were people that were offended by this guy. And he knows his rights, because he was standing on the road, not in our driveway, not in our grass, but he was out on a public place, and he was you know, holding up his signs and everything else, and I didn't get mad at him. Did I want to wring his neck? Yes, I really did. But instead, I had one of our elders at the time invite him to come in. And to my surprise, he came in. And he sat and listened to me speak. And you see, the church should be a place where we're not saying that you can't come in or that person can't come in. But the church should be a place where everybody can come in and hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Does that mean I condone lifestyles? No, it doesn't. But where else are they going to hear truth that is not just because of one person's opinion, but it's based upon the Word of God? Amen. And I want anybody who will come in and willing to listen to come in. That's my view. And so we see that Jesus is building his church. He's not building an organization. He is building an organism, that which is growing, that which is advancing, that which is giving life. Amen? The church is the physical, visible manifestation of Jesus himself in this world today, doing his work, such as calling sinners to repentance. Sinners like me who had no hope, sinners like me who were judging others and my goodness according to somebody else's. I know you guys have never done that before. Proclaiming the truth of God to the nations and preparing to receive the next generation and the good news. Guess what? You and I are part of that. Each and every one of us are a part of that. We all have a part to play in this crazy thing called the church. As a matter of fact, Jesus says that the church is his bride. That is the his eyes are fixed upon his bride. All of his affection, all of his attention, all of his resources go toward his bride, his church. So the church is also described as a body because it's made up of many parts. All the parts are derived to have a different function to have in the body. And so here's the things. Look at with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Love how the Bible describes the body, describes the church. It says this: the body is a unit, and though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now look at this particular verse. Though all its parts are many, they form one body. This means that the church should walk in unity with the same focus and the same mission. You know what that means? That means that we don't have time to envy somebody else's gift. We've got a function in the giftings God has called us to do. Don't devalue the giftings that God has placed in your life. So many of us waste so much time in our lives by focusing in on what they don't have and focus in on what they do have so that they can make a difference not only in their life but in the body as well. We need to understand that there are no small gifts and big gifts in the body of Christ. Each gift is extremely important and extremely useful in the body of Christ. How many of you guys think about your spleen on a regular basis? Don't lie about it. It's all right. No, we don't think about those things, right? Unless it's sick. unless it manifests in the body, then we give attention to it, right? But we don't think about it because it's doing its job. It's functioning. It's creating health in our body. There's many parts doing all kinds of different functions in order that I can stand before you here today and deliver a message, to live my life, to love my kids, to love my wife, and to do life. That's what the body does. Each part bringing life to the body as a whole, doing a separate function. How weird would it be if all of a sudden my heart had a mind of its own and says, you know what, I really want to be the mind because I think I could do a better job. Or the mind would say, I wish that I were the hand because I feel like I could do a better job. There would be dysfunction in my body, right? And if the same is true with the body of Christ. We are all made up of vastly different parts from all different kinds of backgrounds. And God has uniquely designed you. You did not just slip through and you were a whoops. How many of you guys have ever been told that you were a whoops? You know, I mean, it'd be hands some raised. I was a whoops, right? And that's just the way it is. But here in the body, there are no whoops. Everything that God does is deliberate. It's on purpose. When He formed you, it wasn't on to the next. He looked at you. He calculated every single thing about you. And He delivered inside of your DNA special giftings and talents. Only things that you can do and your influence. God has given you to bless others and not just bless yourself. And the things that you went through, He knew you were going to go through in order to make you who you are today. Good or bad, we are all learning. Whether we are on the mountaintop and everything is great, or whether we are in the valley where we're questioning our value, God is at work. He is with you. That's why Job could say, when everything was stripped away from him and his kids were killed and all of his cattle and everything were taken away from him, and he was sitting in a heap of what used to be his wealth and life and boils all over him. And his wife came by and said, are you still holding on to your integrity? Are you still worshiping God? And Job said, though he slay me, yet I will praise him. That's powerful stuff. That means that God is still at work. Even in our weakest moments, even when we feel like we have no value, even when we feel like our worth is being stripped away from us and that we're screwing up every time we turn around, God is still at work in your life. And He is creating inside of you something beautiful, something useful, something of value, something that is of worth, and everything that you go through is never wasted. That He is establishing something in you that is causing you to be who you are in order to be a blessing in the body of Christ. Amen? And then it goes on to say, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether we are Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. That means that He didn't give me more of His Spirit than He gave you. Because we are drinking from the same thing. He has given us the same measure. And so know this, that I'm not walking in a higher anointing. And God didn't give me more a greater love than He has given you. That He has given us all the same Spirit to drink. This means that no matter who you are, whether you are a man or a woman, whether you're black or white, Hispanic, you go down the line, no matter if you are rich or poor, we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Amen? There's no person higher than the other. We are all the same in God's eyes. This is what makes the church so beautiful. It has been said that Sunday is the most segregated time of the week. May this world see the beauty of the church through our many colors and diversity. May this world envy what the church has. May this world ache for what the body of Christ possesses, and that is true love. That we say that love matters and that love has no gender or whatever, but Jesus is the originator of love, and the greatest love originated from Him was poured out into us, and we need to distribute it without measure. Amen? Verses 14 and 20, this goes on to say this. And then it gets more specific about its parts. Verse 14 through 20. The body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Listen to this last part. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted it to be. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That He included you when He arranged the body of Christ. That He included your experiences. That He included your gifts. That He included your personality into the body of Christ. He, Jesus, arranged all of those parts to suit and to please Him. It is important for you to understand this morning that your life has value, and that when you are not here and when you say, well, because I wasn't asked to be a part of this, I'm not a part of the body of Christ. You are valued. Your influence, your experience, your presence is powerful. And the Lord wants to work through it. Amen? This brings me to my next point. Again, we are all needed in the body of Christ. Being a member of the church means you're an active and functioning member of the body of Christ. That means whether you are a teenager or whether you are the oldest member in the church, your influence matters. It matters. Here's the thing. Do you know how to remain a member of a country club? Pay your dues. That's right. Do that, and what happens? Let's talk it out this morning. What happens? Keep your membership, okay? Well, what does that mean? You pay your dues and you get what? You get benefits. You get perks. I have a membership at a gym, and because of that, I go in and I have a trainer Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and they kick my butt every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I don't know if that's a benefit or not. But anyway, but I have benefits. I pay my dues. I get the benefits, right? You can remain an active member if you keep your dues up and pay, right? You can remain an active member, all right? But as a believer, here's the thing. As a believer, it's not about you getting benefits, but it's about you serving and giving deliberately, lavishly. Amen? It's like the roles are reversed. If you've been through our membership class, then you'll hear me say things like, being a member is saying, Pastor Jimmy, you can count on me. Whatever I have, whatever giftings, whatever talents that I possess, I make them available to the church. And when you say, I want to be a member, that means you have bought into loving people. You bought into the church planting and evangelism and discipling people, worshiping, praying, community. All of these different things, you bought into that because that's what we value as a body at New Freedom Church. And it means that you want to give lavishly. And I'm not just talking about finances. You guys, I just said it. We've got, about 4 months ago, we had absolutely zero money in church planting. And now we have over $45,000. It's not that you're not, I'm not talking about giving. You guys got that down. But I'm talking about giving lavishly of the giftings and talents that you guys have received from the Lord. One of the saddest individuals in the church is somebody that doesn't know what they have been placed on earth here for and to do, or do not know their talents, or devalue their talents and not use them because they want to have somebody else's talents. They're not fully satisfied by the talents that they have. What good can they possibly do with the talents that they have? Type of membership concerning us just being consumers, those days are gone. I make it emphatically clear that if you want to serve in this church and there's a place where you want to serve, I will put you in that place. If you say, look, I've never done this before, I'm going to try it out, I encourage you to do it. And if you say, yeah, that didn't work, but I want to try this other thing, then man, we're going to get you where you feel like you need to be. Amen? And for the love of God, would you quit saying, I'm going to pray about it? Did Pastor Jimmy just say that? I'm leaving. No, I'm saying sometimes you don't have to pray about stuff. Amen? Look, did you know that God told Moses to quit praying one time? Moses had already said, take Israel over to the other side. I'm going to go ahead of you. And so Moses got all of these millions of people on the beach. And they were complaining and griping. And they were telling Moses, hey, Pharaoh's coming after us. He's changed his mind. We can hear the horses coming. Why did you bring us out here? Was there not enough graves back in Egypt that you had to bring us out here to die on the beach? I mean, these guys were amping up their complaining. And Moses forgot about the word of the Lord, and he went off and he was like, Lord, what am I going to do? And the Lord said, what are you doing praying here? Stop praying. Stretch out your staff like I told you to and take these people to the other side. Sometimes we don't need to pray about stuff, church. Sometimes we just need to get in there, roll up our sleeves, and get our hands dirty and serve. I don't know why there's not just an enormous applause for that. I mean, really, I'm shameless. I'm going to ask for it. This is an interactive thing, right? I told the church when I first got here 7 years ago that I am not a one-man band. It's pretty cool for a little while. It's a novelty thing, right? A one-man band. He can drum, he can play the harmonica, he can beat the cymbals, he can do all those things, he can grind the organ, he can do all that stuff. And for a while, it's like, that is pretty cool. But then you start getting tired of the same old tune, the same old thing. I love to think of the church as an orchestra. And everybody playing together with different instruments in their parts. Amen? And if you mess up, keep playing because you're going to do it better next time. Amen? You're going to do it better next time. Again, there's no perfection in the body of Christ. It is okay to fail. You know what failing means? It doesn't mean final. It means try again. It means that you have learned how not to do something, so get up and try it a different way. Keep going. You guys have heard me say this 100 times, but if you fail and you fall, at least be productive in your falling, fall forward. And while you're down there, pick something up and get back up. Amen? Get back up. We all have a part to play. And so, in 1 Corinthians 12, it describes the foot, the hand, the ear, and the nose are all... it talks about their specific functions, right? The feet are supposed to walk. The hands are created to grasp and hold. The ear is made to hear. The eyes are made to see. The nose is made for smell. Because we are all different with different gifts and abilities, we will function differently from each member, but we are all working toward the same thing. But if we are a true biblical church members, we will be functioning members. One of the ongoing questions you should ask yourself and God in prayer is, how can I best serve my church? You should never ask yourself if you should be serving in your church. But how can I serve my church? How can I serve? How can I be a blessing? You know, we make needs known all the time. Why do we do that? Is it to manipulate you to serve? Nope. It's to encourage you to serve. It's to push the button a little bit. Open up the needs. Because sometimes in churches, you know, when you first come, you're like, wow, man, everybody's doing their thing. Like, I don't even see that there's a need for me. Trust me, that is a wrong statement. Every church is the same way. Now, I will say this. If you are serving in some capacity in this church, would you raise your hand? You see that? I am proud of that. I'm proud of it. Because we're not the 20-80 thing. Where 20% of the people serve while 80% consume. Matter of fact, I think we've got the backwards numbers. But that doesn't mean that we're fully equipped in every area. I want to do ministry that we've never done before. I want to fully staff our kids' church in the back. Amen. As a matter of fact, she was just up here last Sunday, and I want to encourage you guys to serve. Well, I've never done that. Try it. Try double dog dare you to try it. Right? I was in a coaching session with a church planter not too long ago, and he told me that a family left his church because it was too small. You're talking about something that will absolutely devastate a pastor. Just say that to him, right? I could sense the hurt and frustration in his voice because he was giving everything he possibly could to the work. And unfortunately, this is the mentality of a lot of people. They want to be a part of a country club where they are served instead of a biblical church where it's not about them, but it's about serving others. Remember, we are all given the same measure, but with different giftings and callings. And you are a part of it. You are a vital part of it. Never think for one second that you are devalued at New Freedom Church. Why do you think Pastor Johnny stands up every Sunday and we have a board that's called Get Connected? That's on purpose. That means we give you every opportunity to get into the culture of our specific church so that you can feel like you are valued and that you have a part to play. And that I cringe every time somebody says, Pastor Jimmy, your church is awesome. It's not my church. It's God's church. It's all of our church. We should be proud of our church. Amen? I love it when somebody says, man, I'm proud of my church, Pastor. I'm proud of the church that I go to. I thank God that I found New Freedom and that I'm serving and that I'm being a blessing. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Amen? And so the last thing I want to talk about this morning is the church has a threefold objective, all right? Across the board, not just New Freedom, but across the board. And I want to just talk about these things real quick. Number one is world evangelism. Number two, the ministry to God. Someone once said, man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and to fully enjoy Him forever. All right? And number three, the last objective is to make disciples. So let's just take a look at them real quick. World evangelism. Now, as you can tell, we have evangelism over here. That's one of the things that we love is evangelism. And I want to encourage you. Randy stood up here and said that there is an opportunity to go to Milwaukee and spend 24 hours down there in this an amazing place called City on a Hill and do a project in pretty much the ghetto, right? And it is truly a city on a hill in a very dark spot in Milwaukee. And my family has been there every year that we've done it. We're not going to be there this year due to some scheduling stuff. But I encourage you guys to talk to Randy at the end of this and be a part of it. It is amazing. It is an amazing opportunity to go down there and to serve these little kids. You know, we think that we're going to bless these kids, but they bless us. They truly do. Last year, I met this little girl, and she instantaneously, was stuck to my leg the whole day. And she was the cutest thing I have ever seen, just the cutest kid. And I was painting up her face, and she couldn't see it, and she was anxious to see it. And then finally, she said, "Give me that." So she dipped the paint into, you know, the brush into the paint, and she started painting my face. I don't know what it turned out to be. I can't remember, but I just sat there and let her paint up my face, and she giggled the entire time. It was awesome. It was all up in my hair and stuff. I'm not sure what I was supposed to be, but she just blessed me so much. And I encourage you to do that. It is amazing. And if you say, "Well, Pastor Jimmy, how in the world can I think about evangelism when I got all of this stuff going on in my life?" Listen to me closely. That will not be the last thing that you ever have to go through. Trouble will always be a part of our life in some form or fashion. We're always going to be going through something. We're always going to be busy. We're always going to have this thing or this pressing issue. And I encourage you to serve through it. There'll never be a time in your life where you're completely settled enough to do evangelism. Just do it. Do it through your pain. Do it through your busyness. Do it through your fear. And watch God show up through those efforts. That's the kind of effort God blesses. He gives you grace for it. When you should be all consumed about what's going on in your life, and you step out in faith and go, "God, I do not want to do this, but by faith, I'm going to ask for your grace to help me to love on kids this weekend." And step out and do it, and watch what He does with your heart. It'll be an experience that you will never forget. And that little kid will never forget you. And that is the joy of evangelism. Amen? Jesus, as He was going up into heaven, gave a charge to the church when He said, "Go into all the world and make disciples for all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that He had commanded." The characteristics of the early Jerusalem church was that it was growing. The Lord added to their church daily. Everybody say daily. Those who were being saved. Even under persecution, the church scattered the gospel message everywhere they went. And it seemed like even in persecution, the church advanced even greater and stronger. Number two, the second objective of the church is to minister to God. We were all created to worship, every last one of us. Some just worship a little bit better than others, right? So that's why we have a worship team, so that you guys can't hear me sing and I can't hear you sing, but all together we make a joyful noise, right? And I love that because I love singing and I love worshiping God, and somehow or another He gets glorified through it, and I think that's awesome. And so worship has many avenues of expression too. In a real sense, all of our life can be a great and vast praise service to God. All of it. Not just in singing, but in every part of our life can bring glory and honor to God. Even the mundane acts of life can be an act of worship to God. Think about it. How we work, our attitude, the way we clean the house, how we treat others is all worship and ministry to God. And don't confine your worship just to a 20-minute worship set on Sunday morning. Let everything you say and do be an act of worship and obedience to God. Number three, and the last thing, is the third objective of the New Testament church is to make disciples. So evangelism is the winning of new souls to Christ. Worship is the church directed toward God. And discipleship is the development of new Christians into mature believers. Now, let me just say this to you individually. That if you are the exact same that you are today as you were a year ago, you need to judge your own ways. You need to take stock in what you value. Because as an individual, we are to be growing and moving closer to Christ. And that looks different than it did a year ago. It looks different than it did last Sunday. Amen? We are an advancing force, not only as individuals, but collectively as believers. And the beautiful thing about the church is, when one suffers, we all suffer with them, right? We do things like meal trains. How many of you guys have ever been part of the meal train here at New Freedom? If you're not, get on that train, all right? It's pretty awesome. That if somebody has had surgery or if they've been sick, like we've had a meal train for us one time when I was sick or we're going through something. And then it's like an email, right, Dana? Is that what it is? Like an email? And then you can be a part of it, and you can say, hey, I'll deliver a meal this day. It's kind of like Grubhub, but it's free, right? And how many has partaken of it before? You guys have been a part of it, right? Yeah. So had surgery last week, was it? And then we've had people volunteer to make food for their family. And so we do these things not because it's like cool, but it's what the Bible tells us to do. That when we see somebody in need, we go and we meet that need if we can. I can't know about every need that the church has, but if you know of a need, make it known. And by the way, go ahead and meet that need. Amen, Pastor. I told you I'm going to ask for it. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, the author gives us a glimpse of the characteristics of a mature believer. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Now here's the list. A mature believer will have love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the marks of somebody who is growing in their faith. They're not just born with it. You gotta work at it. You got to love your enemies. It's easy to love somebody that loves you back, but it is so hard to love your enemies. It's hard to serve somebody that has offended you before. It's hard to say, I'm sorry, when you are the one that was the offender. It's hard to humble ourselves and serve one another. Jesus kind of came into this thing, into a crazy conversation with his disciples right before the Last Supper. Jesus came in and they were hearing disciples talking about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus decided to do this. he took off his sash around his waist and he went and got a bucket of water. And he went around to each one of them and he began to wash and clean their feet. The greatest in the room served the least in the room. As a matter of fact, if it was me, I'd just be knocking them upside the head because I'm stressed out. I'm about to die. Right? I'd be edgy. But Jesus came in, his attitude was to serve and to lower himself, and he made himself nothing. Even became obedient to death. But the end result of that, church, is that God lifted him up. And he gave him the name that is above every name. And he seated him at his right hand. And if we'll do the same, if we'll come with this with an attitude of humility and a place of wanting to learn and be a blessing, then God will not only lift you up, but he'll call others to be blessed because of you. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? In closing, you know, the church has a high call and a specific mission, not only in this community, but worldwide. We don't think about our little church in Industrial Park as having a worldwide influence. But if you'll look on that back wall back there on our missions board, you'll see that the money that you give toward missions every single month goes toward planting churches, and not just planting churches in hospitable countries, but planting churches in hostile countries where people could die because of them being a believer. So we are part of a worldwide network. We're giving toward the advancement of that worldwide network. I thank God that Jesus did not leave us as orphans to accomplish all of this by ourselves, but he sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to do the work of his ministry. He has gifted and designed each one of us to be a part of this thing called the body of Christ. You are uniquely designed. From the person that has been a believer for 50 years to the person that just came to Christ this month, last year, still new to their faith, all of us have a part to play.